Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's not a world of men.
I want you to be a man.
You could just be a man in this one moment.
I gotta be a man.
Be a man.
It's be a man time.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Am I supposed to be a man?
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
You can act like a man.
Be a man.
We're rolling. We are here with our first guest. If you're from around here, you know who he is. It's Bean Shooter.
Legendary.
What is a fucking bean shooter?
What is bean shooter?
So 10 years ago when I was down in Florida with a kid from Staten Island, and one day he's like, "Yo, Mike, don't fuck with that fucking guy. He's a fucking bean shooter."
I go, "What?"
He goes, "You don't know what a fucking bean shooter is in Boston?" I go, "No." And I felt like there's an episode of South Park with a... They go on like the field trip with the kids and they don't know what a queef is. You know what I mean? So all these like New York City kids are making fun of them. And basically it's just a bullshitter. Someone who's always exaggerating and talking shit. Like, yeah, you guys are fucking
bullshitter.
Yeah, exactly. Bullshitter. So I found that so fucking funny. I
BS artist is my old man used to call him.
Yeah, bullshit artist. I started calling.
But see, with you with that name, I don't think that at all. Some other guy go, "You're a fucking bean shooter."
Yeah.
But with you, it's elevated. You're bean shooter.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know what's funny is my ex, I was just talking to Be A Man over here, Be A Man guy, about my ex who just almost passed away the other day. Bad scene.
Oh, how overdose, was that?
But
your ex almost passed away the other day?
She's on life support for 2 days. Oh, they just removed the breathing tube today, and she's breathing on her own.
So good,
she's,
thank God. Yeah.
But her kidneys are failing. She's in a bad way. But when she asked me what bean shooter meant, and I told her, she goes, "Well, you're the exact opposite of that. Because you've always been, you know, the realest guy
right.
I knew." And I was like, "I know."
But stand-up guy.
At the time when I named myself Bean Shooter on Snapchat, I didn't think, you know, my social media was ever going to get to the point where fucking thousands of people were asking me what a fucking bean shooter.
It's a good handle.
I was a year and a half ago, I was down in Newport, right? And there's like 8 or 10, 18, 22-year-olds come running up to me, Be A Man fans. And one of them's like, "Hey, my uncle's Bean Shooter."
Hey.
I'm like, "No, hey, good kids. They're all shit-faced." Yeah. We're walking behind them and... me and my brother, Mr. Monday, and walking behind him, and like every 2 minutes, I'd say something stupid, like, "Wipe your ass with your hand, be a man." And they fucking, they loved it. They were good kids. I bumped into him a couple of times. I don't know what nephew, I didn't get his name.
I don't know. Yeah. I tell people, like, when people come up to me and they'll say, "Oh, I liked when you said this or you did that." And you're like, you got to think sometimes, like you get 1,000 of them. But I remember a kid from South Boston, Kevin Bartel, good kid. He's a firefighter and a real estate agent. And he sent me your thing where it said, "Don't use your remote car starter. Freeze your balls off. Be a man." I remember, and I heard that laugh.
Struck
and
a chord.
I said, "This is money. This guy is fucking money."
And the rest
money.
Is history. Now
that's
you're sitting
right.
With
it. Yeah, all right. And when you invited me on with John, I'm a big Sopranos guy, by the way.
Nice.
I remember I got out of Walpole in 2000.
Oh, shit.
And I remember I was in the hole in like 97 to 98, and I'm reading about South Park and the Sopranos. And, you know, you don't get it in there. And I remember it had the picture with like Paulie Walnuts and Gandolfini. I saw the name, The Sopranos. I was like, what a stupid fuck. You know, maybe because I thought Soprano, you know, with right. the name. I don't know what it was, but when I saw the picture of all of them, you know, with, you know,
yeah.
I said, what a fucking stupid show. And then when I got out, it was like whatever it was Saturday night with my kid's mother, who was, we couldn't wait. Mm. You know, like the Pine Barrens. Oh, yeah. There's so tremendous. Many just great.
I thought it was against Italians that made Italians look stupid and like all these righteous Italians I know, like, no, it's not like that. So I didn't watch it for like a couple of years. Yeah. Then I ended
then
up,
you jumped
then
on
I
board.
Came, then I came aboard.
A lot of Italian actors, some of the bigger ones, they would go, I would never go on that show. I'm insulted. It's because they were never fucking asked to go.
Exactly.
As soon as they were asked, they'd fucking jump to go.
Yeah.
Chaz Palminteri, a few others. Oh, no, it's beneath me. Bullshit. Yeah. You see some of the movies they've been in?
Yeah.
They were asked to be in it.
Yeah, of course.
Paul Sorvino, another one. Good guys, but they, you know, bullshit. So one of the things we've talked about in this show is we're all addicted to more. You're probably addicted to more, too,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Everything.
Absolutely.
Poontang. Drugs.
Absolutely. There it is. Stop there.
Right? Now, you were in the can.
Yes.
You were an addict.
Yes.
And you got a massage parlor. The holy fucking trinity of things I've aspired to in life. I don't know if I really have the balls, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can make it in the fucking can. How long were you in the can?
In and out for a lot of my life.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
You're done with it?
14, 15 years.
You think you're done?
Yeah. First in DYS as a kid, then at 17, I was in the House of Correction, then most of my 20s in state prison, and just in and out.
Good resume. You went to college.
Yeah. You know what I used to say, you know? Give me 3 good years in the street, I'll go back and give you 2, no problem. Like,
right.
That would be a great trade-off of me. Like, give me 3 years where I'm out, you know, running around doing drugs, like living that kind of life. But just give me 3 good years out, you know, banging broads, you know, eating good food, and I'll go back and
take a couple of years, rest up, lift a little weights.
A little tune-up.
Come out.
A little tune-up.
Network in the joint.
Yes.
I met this dude once. I was filling fucking vending machines at a 12-step house. Had a couple of machines. I told this before. Best vending machine I had because it was 24/7. All the guys lived in the fucking house eating candy and soda. This guy, Gary, heavy prison time. He was a bank robber. He was like, John, you want to rob a bank with me? He was fucking serious. I go, no, I don't think so, Gary. He goes, there's nothing like it. The fucking rush. I go, didn't you just get out of prison for 25 years? You can't be too good at it.
Yeah.
I go, no, I pass. I don't want to rob a bank.
Yeah, you know what? The vending machine business, a lot of straight, you know, straight arrows and run in that
business.
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
I was on Brotherhood. I was Alphonse Nozzoli. I had a vending company, and they fucking burned it down. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
With the money in those. I mean, there's still a spot in Lowell. And now they got the Asians. I mean, the Asians love gambling, right?
They love it.
And this guy, you know, still got a little spot with like 10 poker machines in there. And it's fucking, they're in there 24 hours a day.
No
sitting
shit.
Sitting in front of that fucking machine. Just it's like the guys that play Keno sitting in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Smoking the pots
we've talked
the
about that.
7-Eleven.
That's like, years ago when I was a bouncer on Revere Beach, they had the machines in back.
Yeah.
All the cops are in there playing.
Yeah.
I
know a guy's got cigarette vending machines still in East Boston.
Ooh. Wow,
he says, remember the operational.
Old school.
Still going.
No
like a half
way.
A dozen weird joints.
Old school.
Yeah. Old school cigarette machine.
You should have one at the Italian club down in Lynn.
Why not?
Yeah,
there should be
the
like
fuck?
Merits in there.
Listen, hey, the wheels are turning now.
You can get your own machine. You get one. Yeah. Set it the fuck up. You'll make a lot of money.
Let's fucking bring it back.
When I was in Thailand, I just saw the two broads sitting in the dunk tank, the two hot girls.
Yeah,
the
I saw
it.
Threw the ball at them.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm thinking of that. I want to buy a dunk machine, have some, you know. Yeah. Have some like you know festival in the summer, right? Have a couple broads up there and fucking
why not?
You know,
money maker.
$5 for $3 all day long.
Make an honest living.
Yeah.
Did the balls whiz right by their fucking head? The thing you hit was over here, right?
Yeah.
Was their head right over here?
Yeah.
So if you were off this much,
those are the thing of the funny.
Oh, those are things.
I think so. Like my father would always say, no heavy lifting. I come up with these ideas to make money. No heavy lifting.
Now, how old your old man still works out?
Yeah, it goes to gym.
How old is he?
No shit.
80.
Wow.
God bless
really?
You. Looks good.
4:30 in the morning to the
Jack LaLanne.
The only time he showers at home is like Christmas and whatever days that the gym ain't closed.
No
the only
kidding.
Days he showers at home. He was in the Navy when he was 17, so he's a routine guy. I always tell them, you went in the Navy when you were 17, I went in the can, but we both
learned our lessons.
Yeah, there's a lot of interactions with dudes in both, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes.
You have to bang a couple of guys out in there?
I've been in my share of scraps.
Really, huh?
Yeah.
You have to do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, kind of thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you have to.
Right.
Well,
he's from Lowell, so we know we can throw
hands.
It's
not like I got to walk in, I can say, I got to bang someone out. And say,
right, right. Yeah,
but, it wasn't that type of deal, but yeah, you always find yourself.
You got to stand up for yourself.
They come at you a little bit, so you got to make a stand if that happens.
And he's from Lowell, so he can definitely throw hands.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I fought in the Silver Mittens. A lot of guys in my neighborhood box, so I could always throw my hands a little bit. I mean, I know how to throw a punch. Like Bundy always said, if you can throw a punch and take a punch, you can fight.
Right.
You know, that's it. You're not going to win every fight, and you're not, I mean, unless you be a man guy. I heard he doesn't have too many L's on his resume.
He's 70-0 with 70 knockouts.
That's like my friend.
A little bit punchy, but I'm okay.
My friend Michael Morrow, when he was a light heavyweight.
Oh, the one who lost to Foreman.
Yeah. He was a light heavyweight. He was like 31-0 with 31 knockouts. Like, why didn't he just stay a fucking light heavyweight?
Oh, shit.
Like, the money was at heavyweight.
It's funny. That's been popping up on my Instagram feed lately, that bout.
Oh, some
Foreman.
Guy.
You've
oh,
been
yeah.
seeing it?
Yeah.
And you watch. You go, here it comes. Here it comes. And I mean, the guy's fucking hands are this big, right? But it didn't look all that bad.
I know.
It was like a jab, right? Basically a jab,
and
right?
He just fucking crushed him.
The worst thing was, you know, Teddy Atlas was saying, you know, you got this fight in the bag. You won basically every round. Stay away from him. And he walked right in.
Yeah.
Straight right hand.
Yeah.
Hate when that happens.
That's how being a man comes at you in the ring, fucking straight on. I don't want
to find out.
I got no moves. All I can do is throw.
He throws fucking haymakers.
You got a good 30 seconds a minute in you, right? Not too many people can withstand it, I'm sure. You know?
The girl fucking reaches unbelievable.
Hey, when I was coming down here, you know, I had my mother get my new tracksuit out and everything, and I'm thinking, you know. I goes, we're probably going to open the door, and I'm all excited, like I'm being made, like Pesci. I'm going to look around. There's going to be no lights, no cameras, and Fiore's going to put one behind my ear like a fucking gentleman, you know?
And I strangely say, you have to answer for Santino. You go, huh? No, what the fuck are you talking about?
Your mom and dad still together?
No. I don't see my mother too often.
Okay.
You know, that was...
But I'm interested in dad still working out at 80, because I'm fucking pushing 70. So I'm wondering. Yeah, man, I'm 68.
I wouldn't change anything you're doing.
No, I just started working out like 2 weeks ago.
I dropped out of a fucking attitude.
I started a new routine with the peptides. You've heard about the peptide shit? I'm taking all kind of peptides.
I've been hearing about that Ozempic and all that other
not
shit.
That.
With people
yeah, that's
weight.
Good too for the weight loss. But these other peptides for weight loss, inflammation, you kind of got to get them through like a pharmacy, like a compounding pharmacy.
Oh,
but they
right.
work. Kind of like, this is something different.
The bean shooter gummies.
You see this here? Bean shooter gummies.
I come bearing gifts.
And I'm very appreciative of this gift.
Yeah.
I will enjoy several.
And you know what? I don't know much about this D9 and hemp derived. And I'm like, is it like Fugazi? It's not weed. And I guess it's the same. And a guy called me yesterday, kid Kevin McLean, he's a plumber, and he bought a bunch of bags. And he goes, hey, my nephew, he's a stoner. It's all he does is smoke. And I gave him these. I goes, what, they sucked? You know, he's expecting the worst. He goes, no. He said they're real good. So that was good.
Oh, cool.
That was good to hear. You
from
know what I mean?
Stoner, that's a good
you don't
want to
hear you're out there pushing, you know. Fucking whatever,
you can get that right through your pages, Instagram, and all that.
Yeah.
And I love how your face is on the bag. Can I make
awesome.
A suggestion?
Yes.
For different strains, you should do like the Paul Newman thing. And like put a sombrero on you if it's like fucking like Tallahassee silver or something. You know, to like switch it up.
Yeah. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Yeah. Cool Aunt Luke.
Yeah, fucking banana kush, and you got fucking, like, the bananas stacked up on your head, but it's still the same picture.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So the Thailand thing, you do that, right?
Yeah.
Every time I think of Thailand, I think of, what's his name? David Carradine, who fucking was found in the closet with the auto asphyxiation.
The guy from NXS did the same
fucking
thing.
Fucking Kung Fu. NXS.
The guy from NXS did the same thing.
Yes. He didn't do it there, though, did he?
I don't know, but I should try that.
And gotta do it in Bangkok.
Yeah, you gotta do it in Bangkok.
People go, what the fuck are you supposed to do there? That's what they do there.
Yeah.
Right?
What a wild place, though.
So we were there for 3 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
One night in Bangkok.
So you were in Thailand?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about that. It must be fucking crazy out there. Isn't that like the like ladyboy capital of like the world?
I'll tell you, this guy follows me, and he has a club in Okinawa, Japan. He wanted me to go there, but my passport was screwed up. China wouldn't let me in. I had no more pages. They almost didn't let me in Thailand. They almost sent me home. And his friend had a club there in Pattaya. I went there, a strip club, but I goes, dude, Bangkok, fucking ladyboys everywhere. He goes, prettiest guys in the world.
What a scene.
So Jesus. I'll tell you, I was with my girlfriend, but I like got away, you know, a few nights.
You're in Thailand.
It happened. I met this girl and I'm like, oh, you're beautiful and da da da. And, you know, we're talking and she's like, yeah, no pussy. I'm like, no pussy.
Had a doorknob down there.
And she said, no pussy. And I was like, oh.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, just to show you, she was like the hottest one I saw that night. And she's saying no pussy.
Can you tell by the Adam's apple?
Like, no sex. And she.
Yeah.
No,
but she has no pussy.
Would you consider?
She did not have one. Yeah.
It depends how you look at a chick with a dick, and what's the other side, or a guy with tits.
Yeah.
Fucking differences to make at this point.
Well, I knew a guy that banged a lady boy.
Fuck it.
I knew a guy that banged a lady boy, and when he did it, he said that like he did it missionary because he wanted to see the tits flopping around.
See, right when you said that, I'm picturing the ball bag hanging down.
Oh, the lady boy had
top.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Lady boy.
The lady boy had a twat?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the lady boy had an anus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And a dick. Oh. And fucking and was nice banging them like missionary fucking like in the ass. Oh,
who admits to that? What kind of friend is
not me?
Yeah,
he's a great guy.
You don't want to be saying that out in public.
Yeah. That's a tough assignment. But that being said,
it happens.
There was a lot of fucking. There was a lot of hot broads here. And that the street where all the strip clubs are and Pattaya is Soy Six. I mean, it was insane. It's just fucking crazy.
No, what? Could you get a bra for like $10 out there for the night? Cheap.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? They're like probably like I don't know $40-$50. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even sleep at night. If my girls stay with me all night, these girls, right? I mean, that's how I am. I'm not gonna be like, here's 40. Right. I'm gonna be like, here's a douche. Like, I'm not gonna be able to sleep. It doesn't mean that much to me to fucking, you know, to take it. Yeah, take it.
Both of you stabbed at night and fucking sleep. Yeah. You can't trust these.
Fucking take it.
Hey, the girl Shin said she goes, watch out. They'll fucking drug you and steal your kidney.
Of course,
shit like that happens over there.
Wake up without a kidney, like that type of shit.
Yeah, but you know, it's just like anywhere else you go, right? If you're fucking drunk and you're not aware of your surroundings and you're stumbling around and you're a fucking idiot, you're going to be a victim.
You're a mock.
Yep.
You're a mock. You know what I mean? Yep. I mean, I don't use or I don't drink anymore. So I'm pretty alert.
Do a little weed?
Like, no, nothing.
No weed, nothing, huh?
Not at all. Wow. No. I mean,
don't get high on your own supply.
Yeah, there it is.
So he's not doing that. We are.
You know, I think about fucking smoking every now and then. I really want to. I used to smoke weed all the time, but then it's I've been sober so long. I haven't done nothing. Why fuck with it?
It's working. Things are working out for you.
You may fucking throw off the balance you've achieved.
You know what? I tell people this story.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
I was gunning a few years ago, and a friend of mine said, the weed's so strong, you'd smoke it, right? And you'd be super uncomfortable. And I got out of fucking Walpole in 99. I went over this girl's house. It's that same girl. She had five sisters or four sisters. Their names all start with a C. Candy, Casey, Christy. She was Carrie.
Carol.
Candy. There was like five of them, and all their boyfriends were there. And I'd been writing letters from Walpole's and Walpole the whole time. So she goes, oh, we go over to my sister's house and we all watch Friends on Wednesday night. So when I was away from 96 to 2000, all this real strong weed come out. Back then it was Mexican brick weed around October, November. Yeah, the scent
was hit or miss. You never know, right, back then.
So this guy's like, oh, I got this KGB, and they're rolling these blunts, so they're passing them around, and I'm smoking. All of a sudden my fucking heart's beating out of my chest. Oh, yeah. You know? And it's like this room like this, and they're all in a circle, and then the sister goes, you just got out of Walpole. You're in. She told him I was in 10 block the hole. So I go, yeah, she goes, tell us a prison story. And I can hear my heart beating out of my chest. And everyone's looking at me. I go, I'll tell you one story. I said, we never watched Friends in there. everyone's just staring at me. I got up. I walked out. The girl goes outside. She goes, are you okay? I go, absolutely not. Take me home. And I remember, I'm like, it was like I took a hit of crack. I'm like, that was weed. And so I think of that, you know, and not doing nothing for so long. But now they got different kinds. They got sativa. They got this. They got weed that mellows you out.
They're
like
doctors now. You go, they go, what's your problem, sir? And the lady writes it down, and they give you the fucking blend. Yeah. I just started myself not long ago, again, but only with gummies. Because I had the same problem smoking like you did. I freaked the fuck out. I did it for years when I was a kid, obviously, right? But then it got to a point where I was just fucking tripping out, wanting to go to the emergency room. Help me! Shit like that.
You know what they say? They say, you know, when you hit a certain age, your brain chemistry changes, right?
Yes.
So it's like cocaine. When you're younger, you're out drinking, you're blowing lines of coke, you're fine. All of a sudden, I'm fucking holding the fucking deadbolt shut for 3 hours, and my hands cramped like this the next day because I, you know, just something happened. We change.
We change. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I never liked broccoli, but now I do.
Yeah, there you go. I was never allergic to fucking shellfish, but now I die.
Right.
I don't smoke weed because it makes me smile. Fuck that.
Yeah, be a man. Don't smoke weed. Be a man. Don't smile.
So in the joint, right?
That might be one. Is that one?
We got one. That is one. Smile once a month, be a man. So this is the once a month right now.
Get a good look at it. It won't last long. Get that expression off your face. So how's the drugs in the can scenario? Is that pretty steady? I mean, it happens, right? Heavy?
Yeah, it was bad for a while, and then, you know, they took the contact visits up in Walpole and a few places, and it got tough. You'd have a screw occasionally lugging in, or, you know, different ways of getting it in. I don't want to say, but everything's blown up now. The mail, and you know, they know all this stuff now.
That's the next one possible, I would think, but
now. There was a landmark case where a guy was on the methadone clinic forever and kicking the methadone clinic, and he sued, saying he's only going in for 30 days. And so they let him take the methadone in Middleton, and that opened the floodgates. Well, you can't let this guy. So now the prisons, people are on Suboxone. I don't know if they're on Xanax yet. They probably will be. You know, they're on Suboxone. They're on methadone. Next thing you know, they'll be smoking weed. So, you know, it's different. You'd see a guy get out of prison before, and you take one look and say, this guy just got out, right? Well. He's jacked up, wife beat, right? I'd see him sweeping the sidewalk.
Convict look.
Yeah. Look. Now I pick guys up, and guys that were jacked up before, I get out, I pick them up. It looks like they've been doing drugs for 2 years. So that's what it's like in there now. So the prisons now are just, you know, it was better then because, you know, I used to say I didn't get arrested, you know, in the end when I was bad on the drugs, on the heroin and the coke, I'd say I didn't get arrested, I got rescued. You know, I got locked up weighing 147 pounds, and 3 months later I'm fucking 215, you know, fucking repping out at fucking 260. And you know what I mean? It'll be like, boom, you know, people, I wouldn't get many visits, but when they do come up, they'd be like, wow, you know. And now, you know, you don't see that. You know, guys go in there, and you're in there one day. Oh, here comes a doctor. Get your methadone, and they just, you know. So
now, what about sex in prison? Like, not with other guys, but like, buddy of mine told me that guys go in the shower, they jerk off, That's it. You always want to wear your shoes in there because it's cum all over the floor. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I got a quick story about that. So in Salt Bay, the guys lined up to go on the single showers to beat off, right? So there was these two kids, and they were from fucking Revere. Can I say their names?
What?
It was Brian Jaguar, who's a fucking absolute nut, good kid, and the other kid, Timmy Shatnoff, but it was something like that. It was like a French last name. Timmy something. So these two kids, we'd be in tears laughing. They were just funny kids. So they'd play cards with each other, and they'd play for, like, if you lose, you got to, you know, do 10 fucking bark like a dog or make chicken sounds and pull your pants down, do push-ups in the chow hall, like all this mad stuff. So one time it was like 5 farts to the face. So the kid would come up. We'd be playing cards, one and the other one would come up and put his ass in his face and just rip a fart. Right?
Is that pants on or?
Down. So now they're playing one day, and he goes, the one who loses, the next guy who comes out of the shower, you got to lick the bottom of his shower shoe.
Oh.
And he fucking did it. And we were just like, we were like, you know, yeah.
That's unbelievable. So,
another one, this kid from Lowell. He's in the fucking shower, and he's got these, like, laminated pictures from, like, Hustler magazine. You know, he's going in. So somebody goes, and there's, like, 10 guys there, and they rip the shower curtain open. He's fucking, you know, he's hunched over, and everyone's pointing at him laughing. And at the time, it was right, this is way back, you know, it was right, this was in Barica. It was right when Sammy Gravano, you know, flipped, and he was testifying against Gotti, and this kid's name was Sammy, and everyone started calling him Sammy the Bull.
Right.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
But I mean, and then you'd see the homo shit going on too there, you know. You'd see
full cross dresses, all that shit.
Yeah, you'd see them coming up to you, I'll do your laundry, I'll do whatever you want, you know, with the Kool-Aid lipstick and they do all that stuff.
Sandra likes that.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid and sometimes you'd see, like, in Old Colony, they had the single showers where you'd open the door and shut it, and there's like a glass window, and you'd see one guy go in playing cards, and you'd see another guy go in, you'd see the towel go up over the window.
Oh,
you'd see him come out, you'd be like, oh, man, you know?
Somebody got piped.
And if it's someone you know, you're like, damn, I hope he was driving the car and not, you know.
Some guys that go in prison, I imagine, they're not that gay, but they'll take a pipe job at a pantry. Happen?
I knew a guy in Walpole. He goes, dude, I'm telling you. I go, are you fucking kidding me? You went with that fucking? He goes, Mike, it was the best blowjob I ever got. Bobby Peterson. I mean, you're a good dude, too.
Right, it's all right.
Hey, at least you own it, right?
Well, once you're behind bars, all bets are off.
Yeah, well, it's a whole guys that are doing life, you see them, you know.
What the fuck are they supposed to do?
They stay solid for a long time or whatever it is, and then you see them just like Dennis Day. You know who Dennis Day is?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dennis Day, you know. I mean, here's a guy, I heard about him going to Walpole, who has killed many people in there. You know, stick a knife right through you. So when I heard his name, I envisioned this. You know, like in the movies, you see this prison guy, right? All fucking tattoos, this killer. And he's about fucking 5'4" and about 140 pounds. And he come up to me. He's got the Shamrock East Boston guy, you know, with Ricky Cost, you know. And he come up to me and he goes, oh, Mike, you know, I heard about your pleasure to meet you. And I'm like, this is fucking... And no one described him. I just kept hearing his name and knowing he killed all kinds of people in there. And he's one.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he'd been in so long, who knows? He just flipped the script and started chicken hawking.
Fuck it.
Yeah, fucking exactly.
That was going nowhere.
Was there a lot of people that were like gay for the stay? Was it like?
No, I mean, if they were, maybe undercover, but you didn't see a lot of that.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to paint any group with one broad stroke, but I mean, Spanish guys would know they get a fucking beaner every now and then. They might be gay for the state.
I think I heard about that.
You know, I'm not saying all of them, but a good, you know,
right?
Good percentage of them got no problem getting a smoothie from the other dude.
Smoothie.
You know, slapping the old centerfold on the back and bending them over.
What about the gangs in prison? Was the gangs you were exposed to in there?
So it's a lot worse now. It used to just be the Spanish gangs and the blacks, and it was mostly, like, in Walpole when I was there, it was, you know, Italian guys, Irish guys, you know what I mean? Your South Boston, Charlestown, East Boston, Revere, those cliques. You know, it was more like that. It was like Massachusetts wasn't like California with skinheads and neo-Nazis and black guerrilla.
So no Aryan Brotherhood kind of thing?
No,
really?
No. I didn't really see a lot of that. You know, you'd see some bikers and things like that, but not really. I guess now it's worse. You get a lot of, you know, there's white gangs and everything's gotten worse.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be, like, when I was a kid and I went in, I was 17 years old, you know, you had guys that were criminals. That weren't just, you know, because they were on dope, robbing a bank. You had guys that were like, you know, second story guys, like the guys, safe crackers or banker, and these, you know, these old timers.
Noble professional crime back in the day.
Yeah. Respect, they were just fucking criminals, you know, and they'd show me the way, take me under their wing and say, hey, I remember when I was a kid and I went in and an old gangster guy, and he said to me, hey, kid, you know, you're a good kid, right? You know, you mind your business. Don't fucking gamble. Don't run up bills gambling. Don't do drugs. You'll be fucking fine. Yeah. Stay away from the drugs. Stay away from the gambling. And then he says, and a couple of other big important ones, don't argue with guys over politics or religion.
Right.
Oh, and these four things could hold true to on the street.
Sure.
Not just in prison.
Right.
But in there especially. Oh,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Fuck arguing guys over politics. Fuck arguing guys over religion. Don't be fucking running up debts, gambling, and get involved in drugs. You don't do those four things. You know, and you stick up for yourself, right?
Right.
You don't let someone push you around and try to take your snake as you fight. I remember when I was 17 years old when I first went in, and up in Billerica, you walk in the gym, they used to have a pool table on the left. And it was like a church pew, like a wooden thing. You'd sit there and wait to get the winner. And I'll never forget, there was these two black guys playing. The guy's name was Wiz and something else. And it was the nine ball rack, you know, the shooting nine ball. So I'm waiting. All of a sudden, this guy came in. It was like, Otis. Yo, I was next. I just went to throw my shit in the laundry. And I had been sitting there for a minute. I was like, no. I'm like, no, I was ahead of you. Yo, ask him. And I saw one of them. He's like racking him up. He's like, he didn't really like want to co-sign. He's like, yeah. He was. I stood up. I grabbed the rack. And I was fucking scared. I mean, you look at me now. When I was 17, I looked like I was about 12. You know what I mean? He was sticking out like this. He's like, yo, man, you got that. And he walked away. And someone said to me afterwards, they said, you're lucky you did that.
Yeah.
No shit.
You're lucky you did pushover. That.
Right? Yeah, because it was all eyes, a gym, the thing, and everyone. Next thing you know, it would have been something else.
Yeah, sure.
And it would have been something else. You know what I mean? So I got away with one without even having a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Stood up for myself. And I looked back at that and said, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But I knew it. I felt it. Like, that's one of those moments in life where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you going to get fucking punked off? Are you going to stand up?
And you probably knew it was going to happen at some time regardless. Like something was happening, so you might as well fucking deal with it right away.
Yeah, it was a crash course. I mean, I was in DYS before that, so I thought I was a know-it-all. I was a fucking idiot running around pantsing people and being, you know, I was a kid, you know. I was a kid and an adult fucking.
Would you go away for the first time?
First time, there was two cases. I was escaped as an adult.
Yeah.
I was escaped from DYS, and I stole a car, and I hit a police car head on. I was drunk driving with two kids, I was driving down the street, and it was like a real narrow street, and there was a police car. I was going one way, the wrong way, and he was in the middle of the street, and they were up at a door, like delivering a summons. And I was drunk, and the kid I was with screamed, and I went to hit the brakes, and I hit the gas, and I was just coasting, and just went, wham! I got out and ran. They caught me. 2 weeks later, I broke in a guy's car, and it was when the Hyundais first come out, they had those stock Panasonic Digitals in them. I don't know if you remember this, but we used to steal them. Got a pair of vice grips. I'm stealing it. Drunk again. Two guys come out of the house. I jump out of the car. I act like I'm going to run. I spin around, and I hit one of them with the vice grips and hurt him.
Yeah.
Split him wide open. He dropped. I spun around to the other guy, and I went to hit him. And he was a big guy. I mean, you know, looking back, you know, who knows? He was probably fucking 5'11", but 6'10" to me at the time. I turn around. I swung to hit him. I remember he grabbed my wrist. And I remember, one of the last things I remember, he buried me, was me going like this. Like trying to hit his head. And he fucking foot swept me real quick and gave me a vicious one.
Did he?
Then the cops gave me one. And I remember I'm in court the next morning. And I look like Tony Conigliaro.
Oh, with a black eye?
My fucking eye was swollen shut. It was purple. The cops gave me a beating. They pulled the string out of my sweatpants. My pants fell down. I remember I was at the booking window. He grabbed the back of my sweatshirt, ripped it off. So when I got out of the wagon, I'd already gotten a beating, and I was a, let me say the word punk, it's like a big thing now, but I was a punk as a kid, you know, as a fucking wise ass. So I got out of the wagon, and they're like, what's your name? And I'm beat up, my eyes swollen, like, fuck you. What's your name? I didn't say nothing. Like, four cops around me. There's this big cop. He ended up being a friend of my father's, Pete Pollard. Rest in peace, Pete. I ended up being all right with him after this, yeah. Right? He goes, what's your name, kid? He was a big guy, like, you know. This guy over here, yeah. Man, fucking mitts like this. So he turns around like he's going to walk away, and he hits me with an open hand slam. And I'm, this is 87. I'm 17. Yeah, 86. He hit me with an open hand slap side of the eardrum, and I was standing the paddy wagon. My head, wham, hit the paddy wagon. And I'll tell you, my head wasn't back upright yet, and I was saying, Mike Lee, 5'2", 69, 39, Aiken Apple. You know what I mean? They had to slap me again to shut me up. I'm like, you want my social security number? No. He did. He slapped, and I remember a couple cops laugh, and he shrugged. He goes, some guys got to do it the hard way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Unbelievable.
And that was those two cases. So in the morning, I go to court, sober up. I go into court, and I look, and Dickie Eklund, who's like family to me, is sitting over on the right.
You know who that is, Tonzo, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. The movie The Fighter was based on, you know.
Yeah.
So Dickie's sitting over there, and they call my name Michael Lee, and I'm 17 years old. I just stand up, and they dismiss the DYS AWOL warrants because I'm in adult court now, and I'm walking up, and I hear... I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I turn around, this guy's got one of those fucking long lens cameras, and he's fucking zoomed in on me taking it. So I'm 17. I'm saying, oh fuck. And I'll never forget, like, the guy's name, his name was Michael Pigeon. He was a photographer, the little son, and he's sitting next to Dickie. So I make a fucking beeline for Dickie, because Dickie's over there jeffing with the, you know, joking with the guy. I go, hey Dickie, you gotta tell this guy, man, because back then they put you, you know, once a week, some asshole got arrested. Right. They put his picture in the paper with all the charge. I'll never forget. It said, you know, breaking and entering a motor vehicle, assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, to wit, pliers. I'll never forget. That's what it said. So Dickie said, he goes, listen, I talked to him, and he said, the cops give this guy a piece of paper with a name on it. He goes, so you're a fucking real asshole, apparently, you know?
Right,
cops say, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
So I'm a kid. I'm going home. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, nothing. I remember I got home like Thursday. My father goes, hey, asshole. He's got it cut out and fucking magnet on the fridge. Big fucking. And you know what? I talk about this and I want this picture now.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. You know? I'd want it too.
Yeah. I mean, and people say if you go down the library, like the little son, and I know roughly the date.
Yeah.
You know, it was the summer of fucking 86 because I went away in 87. I turned
18. It's on a computer now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And I want to go get that. You know?
That'd be great.
You don't have someone that can run to the library and pull archives?
Yeah. No, I know. I'm terrible with all this stuff. I'm like be a man guy over here. He just got to stand up in front of the green screen and say, fucking, don't use your remote cockstar to freeze your balls off and walk out the door. And you guys are all jumping through hoops. Yeah. Why don't you guys do it? Can you guys go pull up
just
my bucket?
Just like with broads, I'm good for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Be a man's Yanir talent. He's a talent.
Yeah.
In and out.
To be continued this Wednesday on the Be a Man Experience.
Be a Man Experience!
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy.
water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.